wasn't on board with the psychedelic freak-out dance thing that Jackie thought of at first. But I gotta be honest, this is pretty cool.
Well, yeah, Dave, you throw a big projection screen and start showing up some weird goo splashing around, you're gonna have a good time.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and anyway, we do have reason to celebrate. It's been 150 days since our last poo-related accident.
What was the last one again?
It was a shit demon, I think.
Oh, right. The shit demon. Of course.
Yeah, you guys got a lighter?
Take this party to the next level.
Here you go, Ryan. But smoke that out in back in the smoking area, will you? If I get any whiff of that, we may end up with another accident on our hands, if you know what I mean.
Fine.
You're the only person I know who gets paranoid about shitting their pants when they get high.
I don't know what it is, but I guarantee if I start mixing alcohol and even a whiff of weed, I'll be putting that 150-day record to the test.
You don't know what you're doing!
Dick, Jesus! What are you talking about?
Don't act innocent, Dave. You know exactly what we're talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You're acting crazy.
Oh, I guess you didn't notice the giant smokestacks behind the store putting out all those nauseous chemicals into the air.
Well, yeah, but the contractor who hooked those up to the septic tank told me they were filtered smokestacks. They were supposed to be environmentally friendly.
David, you fool! Did you really think that attaching smokestacks to the septic tank was a good idea?
I thought it was a little unusual at first, but hey, we're 150 days without a poo-related mishap. All in all, I'd say it was worth it.
Oh, Dave, you have no idea what you've done. The poo particles from the smokestacks have drifted all the way to the Citadel. It's the rainy season.
Oh my god.
97 people in Citadel have already been stricken with poo burns, and another 200 are dead. You have to shut it down now, Dave.
Now hold on. Can you really prove that the smoke from our septic smokestacks are responsible? Where's your evidence?
Hey guys, is there any punch left? Oh my god, why is Ryan covered in shit?
It burns! It burns!
Need any more evidence, Dave?
Well, if Ryan hadn't have gone out there to smoke weed, this never would have happened. Right? Guys?
Don't you blame weed for this, Dave.
You stubborn bastard. I knew you wouldn't be convinced. Which is why I brought this public service video with me to show you the consequences of poo-emitting smokestacks.
Godzilla versus Hedorah?
Well, yeah. I had to make sure there were some monster fights spliced in to make sure you didn't lose interest.
Oh, I appreciate that, Nick.
Guys, my skin is melting.
Oh, shit, that's right. Someone get Ryan to the delousing chamber, and we'll get this video prepped up in the VCR.
Why is it we can't throw one party that doesn't end with someone covered in shit?
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movie-less wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
polluted waters it came, to become the most fearful menace that ever threatened mankind. Feeding, growing ever more deadly on smog, only one force dared stand up to its overpowering evil.
Godzilla!
Godzilla versus the smog monster. Will Godzilla, man's friend, be vanquished?
More than 1,600 dead have been reported, while other casualties are expected to exceed 30,000.
Storage tank of the Japan Oil Company has exploded.
Nothing man can do can stop the smog monster. Can Godzilla save the Earth from this mastodon of destruction?
All right. Well, after watching that movie, I am going to immediately have some contractors take down the smokestacks. We might have to, I will say this, we might have to limit our Taco Bell intake. I have a feeling that might be the reason why there were so many noxious chemicals and why our septic tank needed smokestacks to begin with to help with everything, I guess.
I still don't think we needed the smokestacks, Dave. I'm sorry.
The guy told me it was supposed to filter out the worst of the gases, and that way we wouldn't have another shit demon.
That was a con man. There is no green smokestack.
You may be right.
There's no clean coal. There's no clean Taco Bell. And there's
no Godzilla, at least in our universe, not yet.
Not yet.
If we don't tear him down, we might end up, you know, facing what happens in this movie. We might have to face a Ghidorah. Anyway,
I really don't want to face a Ghidorah.
My eyes are now opened. I'm joined again by appoint you my environmental agent of the store. Nick Goathoof. Nick Morton Hoof.
Hey there.
Hey there, folks. Hey.
A new guy.
I'm sorry about all those people in Citadel dying and, you know, getting their faces burned off and whatnot. I didn't know.
That's a Morton Hoof's tax base.
And that voice you heard, of course, was Michael.
It probably came from a sticky, dark planet far away. Now go to sleep.
I'm also joined by Jackie.
You know, I know the world's, like, ending, sort of, but do you guys want to, like, go throw a party at Mount Fuji with some cool music and everything?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll be setting stuff on fire during this environmental crisis, yeah. So you guys are in? Cool.
And finally, we're joined by newly de-pooed Ryan.
Ouch!
Is that what it, Ryan, is that what it says on your Wasteland Tinder bio? Newly de-pooed?
Yeah. But, I was going to say, you know, with Dave, when you're installing these smokestacks and, you know, I said that we can maybe certify as a B Corp. I didn't mean a P Corp, a B Corp.
Wah, wah.
Not a pee-pee poo-poo corp.
Not a pee-pee poo-poo corp.
Not a pee-pee poo-poo corp. B Corp.
Well, Godzilla versus Ghidorah. I am a huge Godzilla fan, but somehow I think this was the one Godzilla film of this era, the Showa era, that I never saw. I think I saw maybe the last 5 minutes one time as a kid as a Godzilla marathon was on TV. I caught the last 5 minutes and I'm like, why is Godzilla holding these two orb things? What's that all
why
about?
Why is he beating the shit out of that pile of goo?
Exactly.
Why is he just wailing on it?
I didn't know what to make of it, and I think and if I recall, my local video store did not have Godzilla versus Ghidorah, so this was none.
The smog monster, wasn't it?
Or AKA the smog monster, yeah. I never had this one, so I never really got around to watching it. It had to have been on TV. So this was my first viewing of Godzilla versus the Smog Monster, or Hedorah. Anyone else here, first viewing?
I knew the name Hedorah. I didn't know she was a smog monster. I didn't know. So yes, my
it wasn't her
it.
Fault.
She was a mother.
Yeah, I never saw this one either. It was it was one that I mean, it's a lot of them kind of run together a little bit, but I know the ones for sure that I've seen, but this is one that I never saw. No.
Yeah,
this
is number same.
11. Did we see? This is the 11th one they
it's
made.
It's the 11th Godzilla movie.
So
yeah.
They were already like in
this was
it
towards the end of the run. This was 1971, I believe, right, Nick?
I think there's
that
only
sounds
like three,
right.
Four,
yeah,
three or four more after this, maybe until the 80s revival.
And yeah, we're heavily in the like gooey rubber suit era.
It's a far cry from the it's a far cry from the original Gojira.
Oh yeah.
Although I mean, they're not dissimilar in core message about like, hey, when you what you do to the Earth matters.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know why this one might not have been one that at least I saw replayed on TV either. I don't know.
It's a weird one.
It's a weird one.
Like it's
this. Oh, this one is one of the more memorable ones, I think, in terms of how different it is from what it's doing from a lot of the other ones, especially around the same time. But I think I would argue that it actually is a little closer to the original than, say, some of the other ones, because at least the heaviness of the message, I think, is really in some way suffocating here. And it reminds me more of what we would see in, say, the original as opposed to some of the other ones.
And reading about it, like, it was like the director's first movie. And there was like an intentional, like, trying to evoke like the themes and stuff. But one of the like old hats was helping out too. And there was a lot of like dispute between the two about the tone of the movie. Like I guess
it is
like when
totally
they,
inconsistent, I would say.
Yeah. When they were like working on it, they were like, just reading like stuff about the production, they were like, this is like turning out to be too grim, like we need to throw in like some comic stuff.
Throw
so then
in
it,
some sexy parties.
Yeah, so then it like is this mix of like kind of like metal grim imagery where you have like these like skeletons like on the ground or whatever versus like the goofy like parties and stuff. It's also like this is the most, even though it's like a 1971 movie, this is the most 1960s thing I've like ever seen. It is so 1960s.
Do you think that dance scene is like comedic?
I didn't get that. Like,
I think it's like
to me, the only kiddie stuff was the kid himself.
Yeah,
maybe.
Well, not just that, but also like when Godzilla flies through the air, like that's goofy as all hell. But I really took the bolt dance sequences in this movie as very like almost nihilist in a sense, because we have the first scene is this guy who's basically like drinking himself, he looks depressed, he doesn't look like he's having a good time, and then the next one is the youth has decided to get together to dance for the last day of the world. So
I'm thinking of like the full-on like I wouldn't call it like necessarily comedic, but the full-on musical sequences I think are like light.
That doesn't feel like an insert to me, though. That feels like some crazy vision shit. You know?
Yeah.
I will say the moment when they're like, we're at the party and it's all gray and we're going to have our last day on Earth, and then they all pull out their instruments and it goes to color. Is goofy, but I love
that was
it.
Amazing. Yeah.
They're like, just kidding, let's play guitar.
That was the point for me when this movie went to the next level. I'm like, this is one of the best Godzilla movies.
I honestly think there are a lot of choices in this movie that I can easily see why someone would say it doesn't work. For example, I think almost all the scenes featuring Godzilla are kind of anticlimactic. Like they don't play a lot of music in the fight scenes. They have a lot of wide shots. There's this at least one prolonged wide shot of just Godzilla kind of walking. And so I think there's a lot of stuff that kind of seems unnatural or doesn't flow right. But to me, it actually really works here. Like, 'cause it just makes the whole movie kind of weird.
It's a weird, like there's a lot
it
of,
is weird. Yeah.
Especially, I mean, of the this of the like the 60s, 50, like the late 50s through this time, like the ones I see, Like, this is, like, action-packed with Godzilla and, like,
there's
Ghidorah
a, it,
in it.
Compared it felt to like other there was ones. A lot of action.
Compared yeah. to other ones, I would say.
And there's always something going on, even when you don't have Godzilla and Ghidorah fighting. You have, like, the stuff, like, that, yeah, those interstitials that are, like, the dance sequence we were talking about or the music sequences, those are more, like, interesting than what's typically going on yeah. in the Godzilla movies, I think.
Yeah. I think, yeah, this movie, it doesn't prioritize, say, human drama per se, but it does, I think, focus a little bit more on the sci-fi aspect of, like, this, I think he's the dad is a biologist, and he's, yeah. like, investigating and figuring out what is Ghidorah, and I like, stuff. That was another thing, I sent you all the little Chattopedia entry, because I thought it described two things in that happens in this movie that just stuff I really like, and so Ghidorah continuously evolves and gets a perfect form. So it's very like Dragon Ball Z-esque with Cell and Majin Buu. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. He keeps getting better and better and better. And yeah,
the
I thought that.
The Earth is.
Right.
Papa?
Will you look at that? When I put fragments of that fish in the polluted water, the dry pieces are regenerated and they come to life and join in larger form.
Look at that. Mama, it has a tail.
Now, will it happen again? No wonder the creature can grow so quickly. It doesn't divide like other organisms.
Do you mean my Hydra and the one that smashes ships have come together and made a big one?
This means they can reach enormous size.
Bigger than Godzilla?
Ah.
He keeps growing, and all his forms are kind of unique. You know, I love his little UFO form. He's just
I could see Cell being inspired by Ghidorah.
Yeah, he absorbs things like that. I mean, Ghidorah in general is just one of my favorite monsters. Like, him getting high off the smokestacks, I love that.
Oh my god! Vaping on those fumes.
They straight up vaping.
Big old bong. Bong hits.
Yeah.
Yes.
Big old bong.
He loves it. He loves
it. And I love how he slowly turns when he hears Godzilla. He's like, what?
And his bloodshot eyes and stuff.
Yeah, his glowing bloodshot eyes.
Yeah. It's a body high.
Do
you think Godzilla can tell I'm stoned?
Godzilla, can you
Godzilla,
tell?
This is indica. You got to try it, bro. It's different than sativa.
There were several points in the movie where, like, it almost felt like, why are people trying to harsh Ghidorah's high?
Yeah,
like,
Godzilla,
it felt like Godzilla was
here.
A narc.
His
yeah, Godzilla, don't be such a narc.
Yeah. Like, he comes in, he's like, are you smoking?
He's like, first you litter, now you do drugs?
His move where he's like he puts he pats his
wipes his mouth and then he
I didn't
like,
realize that like, was his move. I thought that he was like
he got
had smog
on
his,
face.
Part of me too is like is the guy in the suit okay? Is he like crying out for help? Should they have stopped the filming?
Is he like wiping his like mouth off kind of
thing? I don't know. I guess that's his like prize fighter move that all his young fans know and love.
I wanted to ask Nick about this because you're more familiar with Zilla. Is this a thing he does in other movies?
Well, he has like these mannerisms,
yeah,
and
like
I
this.
Think, so I think this movie just kind of carves that out through some exposition through Ken, the little kid, and he's like, yeah, that's Godzilla's trademark or whatever. So I think it's like
I'm a Godzilla head.
Taunting. Yeah, only the true Zilla heads know, and you kind of have to go along with it. He's like, yeah, so this is his taunt.
The authorities are not sure if the Hedra at Sagami and the one which sank the tankers are the same. No one knows where the Hedra came from or why Godzilla suddenly attacked it. Civic leaders throughout the country are urging the government to take immediate action.
What's the matter with that man? Godzilla came to kill the Hedra because he hates it too, right, Papa?
Ken, how come you know so much about it? So you want to be Godzilla?
I love the fact I love the idea that in this world now we are so far removed from the original Godzilla where he's like a metaphor for the the atomic bomb and whatnot. Now there are Godzilla toys in this universe.
There's a lot of merch in universe.
We open on a kid that I was just imagining it was little Morton Hoof playing with all of his Godzilla toys
in my garden. Yeah, a couple Godzilla toys like that.
Play Godzilla. And you put them down.
They even have Ghidorah toys. Like the whole gang is here in toy form.
Yeah.
Canonically, shed a small tear
when all the toys got splattered with the ooze.
You're never going to get that ooze out.
Right. Those are not going to be sellable on eBay.
It's such a stark contrast that this movie puts out in the beginning. You get this, like, you know.
It's like a Bond intro.
It is like a Bond intro. With like this lady talking and dancing to the camera, but it's over footage, stock footage of like sludge and public waste.
There's
and
a
shit
lot
like that.
Of B-roll of sludge in the, yeah, of just real, like human
a haunting,
litter.
Haunting image of like a busted up mannequin, like in the sludge, like a dead body.
Yeah.
And then it concludes, the opening credits conclude with like a clock, like how much time do we have left? And then cut to this kid like, yay!
I love Godzilla!
Yeah,
those opening credit scenes with the clock in the sludge, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, am I watching a Tarkovsky film?
Yeah, right.
It looks so good. And it's just like, good. Yeah, this movie just does so many things that to me are interesting. It's like, oh, you know, we're going to not only this, but also throwing in these spliced like animated sequences too.
Oh, those were really cool.
Animation thing. They almost remind me a little bit of like the animation from like Pink Floyd's The Wall.
I was almost thinking like, are these interstitials? Could it be said that maybe this is like the kid like coloring almost like Hedora's around, this is what's happening.
Why
don't
not?
Litter. No, I liked
yeah,
it.
We were
joking watching it that it did feel like like some 70s environmentalist PSAs of like give a hoot, don't pollute.
Like Sesame Street stuff. Like
it reminded me of like Schoolhouse Rock.
Schoolhouse Rock 100%. That's the vibe.
It's like, pollution is bad. Here comes Ghidorah.
I want Godzilla, to like be like, don't pollute. I said don't pollute.
Well, I think like the movie, it becomes more effective because it has these like animated sequences that are, you know, kind of silly and fun to look at. But then it has Ken wandering the streets encountering deteriorated human bodies.
Yeah, that's
skulls
fucked.
Or in skeletons sitting in sludge. It's just so grim.
And now it looks as if I'm covered in poo.
This isn't like when I play Godzilla in my backyard.
There are haunting images of this. Like when people, like when Hedorah in its like UFO form flies over people and emits that gas, and then they literally turn to skeletons. They melt first, and then they turn to skeletons. I was like, oh my God.
Which like, you know, like the original Godzilla being like a metaphor for like the atomic bomb or whatever. I think like some of the, like what is happening to these people, I think, is evoking like toxic waste, you know, and like nuclear accidents and that kind of thing.
And even like, you know, purposeful like chemical warfare.
Yeah.
Like it's both the passive and the active. Like this is what happens when you do this to the earth and to the people who live here.
And if I'm not mistaken, they go out of their way to say like some, at least a good chunk of the pollution that's being dumped into these areas is because of like warfare, actually, like runoff from warfare and the consequences of
testing
that.
Testing of the A-bomb.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
testing all the bombs.
Which government and military has the highest rate of climate destruction? Is it the United States? I forget. It is.
Yeah,
I think it's because that's still
so relevant. Like, it just makes the movie feel a little bit more prescient. Like,
well, I don't know. I mean, because the pollution thing was kind of like done. Like, right? Wasn't that fixed?
Yeah, we fixed it when Godzilla killed Hedorah.
Yeah, remember when Godzilla came along and saved the day?
Yeah. So I don't. I feel like it's kind of a time capsule in a way because it's dealing with themes that
are so irrelevant,
not relevant anymore.
Right, you're right. I mean, misspoke. It definitely feels so archaic and out of touch. I feel like humans have progressed so far beyond this.
They are now. They have been for the last, let me see, about 20 minutes or so since I've taken the smokestacks down. For a while.
True. We've come a long way. We really have.
It's kind of funny. I wish I can remember the title, but it's telling me about, like, there's, maybe you'll know it, Nick. There's like a Criterion doc about, like, some Italian mafia stuff where they would like you can only put out as your company or factory like so much like pollution or whatever, and so like there'd be like to the point of these mafia people would like take your sludge and your like toxic waste and like bury it in like the Tuscany like hills and stuff like that.
What?
And like I don't know, I can't remember the name. I'll have to find out the name. But like, like there, that. So the, I don't know. It's this shit's probably still going on. Where the, it just well, we're gonna explode also, into Godzilla and Ghidorah. And
this was also the era. Well, not too long after the era, more or less, still in the era of like Mad Men, where like people were just like openly littering and just throwing shit around. It's like, all right, folks, we're done with our picnic. You know, let's air out the thing and throw all of our shit everywhere.
71 is like, yeah, where we just discovered like 10 minutes ago that maybe we shouldn't literally just drop trash like on the ground.
This is like the era of like, do you guys notice that the river is on fire?
Seems bad.
Yeah, I think when if you read the Chattopedia, the person who kind of formed the idea of Ghidorah was inspired by the smoke over a certain city. It's like just pure black smoke over the city. So I don't know. I think like that because of that rootedness and actuality, I think it gives Ghidorah, as goofy as Ghidorah is, because he does look goofy as hell, he's also just very memorable and based on something real like Godzilla, and I just think it has a little bit more effectiveness.
Like this is, I don't know what the thing in Japan was like, but I mean, like for context, like the EPA in the United States like didn't exist until 1970, I think. So 1970.
Guys, I just saw something interesting in the trivia. This movie came out in 1971. You know what else came out in 1971? The Crying Indian commercial.
Oh, starring an Italian-American man.
Yes. So it was the Crying Indian and Godzilla versus Ghidorah that effectively ended pollution.
Yeah, we did it. We stopped doing pollution.
We stopped doing it.
I remember Al Gore saying that he was inspired by Godzilla versus Ghidorah.
I think the EPA the EPA might have done some more heavy lifting on stopping the rivers from burning.
No, it was a commercial.
It was a commercial.
Yeah. And this movie.
And then over in Japan it was this movie.
That's all we
needed. I guess I'm talking about America. Maybe in Japan they didn't establish the EPA. They just released Godzilla versus the Smog Monster.
And they were like, oh, we get it.
Now we get it. We didn't understand what it was when it was Godzilla versus Ghidorah, but now that it's called Godzilla versus the Smog Monster, we know exactly what you're telling
us. I feel like smog even is such a, like, 70s word, you know? Like, yeah.
I think we were joking about, like, pollution not being a problem, but I do think, like, there were some things that were solved around that time. We don't have as many rivers burning nowadays.
Not
but
as many, but...
I think the thing is, we never realized... We didn't realize back then that, like, the big problem was, like, the climate change stuff. Like, that's what's going to kill.
Yeah. this is unrelated to the climate change stuff, but I was also looking at trivia and production, and it's just too good. Kenpachiro Satsuma, the actor who played Ghidorah, was struck with appendicitis shortly after production as he was giving a publicity interview to a newspaper while only loosely wearing the heavy Ghidorah costume. He had to be rushed off to surgery. During the appendectomy, Satsuma learned that painkillers had no effect on him. Sorry about that, dude. You did a good job with playing Ghidorah,
like,
though.
Just like the part he played Ghidorah, he felt no pain.
Wow.
Or no, I guess that's
no.
Not
he
right.
felt
no,
all pain.
He felt all the pain. The painkillers. I misinterpreted that.
He would have loved to feel no pain, I'm sure. Anyway,
I wish I was Ghidorah.
I think he. I actually really, really liked the Ghidorah like costume, even though it's very goofy. But the like to be said, those bloodshot red eyes, and at the very end when we're kind of like. It's like when they think the plan hasn't worked or whatever, and then we just have Ghidorah with like headlights blinking like every so often, and it's like really kind of like stirring, and you get these kind of close-ups of the costume, and it's kind of like iridescent and sparkly the way that like a gasoline spill is, because it's, you know, it's pollution, it's only bad, but like it looks so pretty.
Mm-hmm. Someone, one of my favorite podcasts, I Hate Movies, one of the hosts, Andrew Jupin, posted a Letterboxd review of this movie where I think he perfectly captured what Ghidorah looks like. He basically compared Ghidorah to those like roller things that you see in a car wash. Oh. And I was like, oh, that is perfect.
Yeah.
That's funny. Like the drive-through car wash.
With all those little fingers.
That's, yeah. Oh,
yeah. That's funny.
I love those things. I don't even know what that is. Roller? It's a roller, I guess.
It's a see it.
Well, the costume...
We should, after this recording, we should all go through a car wash in Barter Town.
Well, those are fun. Probably be a good idea just to get any remaining poo particles off us.
Yeah, Ryan, if you wouldn't mind
just put Ryan through the car wash.
I'll lay on the hood.
Yeah. We got a great wax out of it.
Like, probably the most ungraceful in a suit that we've seen. Like, because
hey,
he
had
no
his
arms,
appendix
really.
Out.
Like, he basically, like, I gotta imagine the performer is basically, Hedora doesn't really have arms, so to speak. He basically just kind of waddles. And, like, so the guy in the costume, not very graceful. He's not allowed to be. Like,
he couldn't, like, if he wanted to, when, even if if painkillers worked on him.
Yeah, I mean, there's a scene when him and Godzilla are fighting, and Hedora basically just, like, jumps on top of Godzilla, just sort of wiggles around.
That's the move.
He doesn't really have arms, so he can't really do much.
He's kind of like, I mean, he's very extraterrestrial and very, like, force of nature, which is kind of cool compared to being, like, I don't know, a giant Mothra. I mean, I love Mothra.
Wow, shade to Mothra. Pitting two strong women against each other.
it was funny to me that even though, I guess he kind of has a tail, like, one thing I love about this era of Godzilla is whenever he fights a villain, he always, his go-to move is to grab the villain's tail, lift him up, and then slam him down again. Every time.
It's a good move.
And what's funny,
it's what you do, like, to your enemies.
Scenes, I was flinching because, like, oh god, like, the way he's slamming him down, like, he's gonna break that performer's legs, like, in the suit. Like, it got me thinking, like, maybe in those scenes there is no performer in their suit and he's basically just like,
that's the thing, sometimes it feels like they just put, like, a couple pillows inside of the suit. Yes. And we're like, toss this around. Which is my favorite kind of move, whether in, like, a Godzilla arena or, like, with Muppets, of just, like, just throw it around.
Well, there's some moments when he's doing that where you straight up see Hedora's legs bend the wrong way. So you're like,
I'm sure that, they had, like, a dummy in there.
I'm curious, Morten Hoof, you're the, like, resident kaiju expert, and I'm curious what you thought about, like, the monster, the sequences here with the monsters, like... in particular, I know you're a big, like, proponent of, like, getting scale right, and I'm curious, like, what you thought about that.
Well, Jackie had said something that really stood out to me on this watch, and that is the scene. Godzilla is in the picture yet, but they're trying to lure Hedora through these two giant electrodes that are gonna, like, electrocute him
and get rid of the pollution. Yeah.
And they're luring him by just flashing these lights on these trucks. And it's a very patient scene almost. It feels it goes on for a little bit. And like I said, another thing about this movie that I think is to its benefit is its sparse use of music. And those scenes with the cars, there's no suspenseful music or any music at all playing. It's just you seeing this. And it puts you in, it does a unique thing to really make you look at Hedora in an interesting way. And that ties into one thing that you just said about the scale. They do these interesting shots two times with these, like, fisheye close-ups.
That's a lot of interesting editing inserts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have these, like, fisheye close-ups from the POV of both Hedora and Godzilla respectively. And then there's this one other scene. I think it's around the electrode scene where it's an upward angled shot of Hedora. Yes. And you just see, like, Hedora looks so towering. And that is the stuff that, like, makes my heart flutter when it comes to kaiju films, because it's like all of a sudden you somehow appreciate how big this thing is supposed to be. And I think Hedora does come through.
If
that
this guy. Thing was, like, in your city and you.
Yeah. And speaking to that, like, yeah, one thing, like, the Godzilla movies that came after this, I enjoy them, but I don't, if memory serves, I feel like they don't quite do a great job of showing the scale of Godzilla compared to, like, humans. Like, it always just looks like they're fighting in, like, scale model sets, which they are. But, you know, the past movies, I think, do a better job of of putting those shots. Like you mentioned, Nick, there was the shot with Hedora in between the electrode things. Like, there are a few moments where they do. I mean, obviously these don't hold up, but there's shots where clearly they're like on in front of a screen or something, the people, and just to show the scale of the people compared to Hedora. And there's also a few shots when Hedora earlier in the movie when Hedora attacks a city, where again the effects don't hold up necessarily, but at least they show you the scale of Hedora compared to the city, and then compared to the people looking up at him. You know what I
mean?
Well,
I think your time, or another thing that this movie does that makes the attacks effective is the unique use of like ambiguity almost. Like, so for example, there's these great scenes where like pollution or smog is like kind of overtaking the screen, and they do it a couple times, and it's kind of goofy, but at the same time, it's like, it really, to me, it's an effective, like, oh, the world is ending, you know, the world is becoming,
very blob.
Right. Yeah. That kind of effectiveness. And then the other thing is, there's another great shot where it's this cool, I think it's cool editing where they're in the car and, they have to jump out because the car is going to get eaten by Hedora. And the way they edit that, it's cool. It's clever, I think. And then you get this creepy shot of Hedora just eating all these cars and it's,
I was genuinely freaked out at that moment when, because they don't show Hedora right away. You just see like the blue goo come over the windshield, and they're like, "Oh God!" And then it cuts, and then they like fall out of the car, basically.
Yeah,
like,
they do. They kind of just stumble out.
The editing is very tense, and I was honestly, I didn't think a Godzilla movie from this era would literally have me on edge, but this moment had me on edge, legitimately. Maybe it was the remnants of the weed smoke that Brian had been smoking around. I don't know, but I was legitimately like freaked out, and then it cuts to Hedora again, very similar to the blob of like him on like a miniature and all that, and there's like 20 cars underneath him as he's like.
Yeah,
it was
I think effective. The dosages of seriousness most of the time, because I do think there are a number of flaws here, but I think this movie is a lot of fun, and it does things like that are effective in the moment. So I don't think it does the best job at sustaining the tension throughout the entire film, but I think it does, like, in those moments, it's like, oh, yeah, this is really cool. This looks good. Sucks you in the moment, I think.
I will say, there are some points where it lags a little bit, but for the most part, this is like an hour and 25-minute movie, and it gets started right away. You understand that... Like, to kind of get into the synopsis of the movie, you immediately understand. It opens with a James Bond-like opening of Sludge, and you get this singer
Godzilla!
Saying, like, yeah, where she's just like, give us back the blue sea, give it all back, you know, that kind of thing.
When all the humans are dead, who will shed a tear?
And so you know immediately what's happening, and the dad, I forget his name, like a biologist or something like that, finds the goo. He goes underwater to figure out what's going on, and this is when I will say this, like, there were a lot of great scenes that were genuinely like tense, but this is one where I think the editing kind of fails a little bit. It's when the dad is underwater, he's searching for evidence of what's going on, and Hedora comes and
what do they think it's like, basically. A big tadpole? They're like, some sort of tadpole thing.
They think it's a big tadpole, but they find out later throughout the course of the movie that, you know, the tadpole is from space, and it basically absorbs all the goo and sludge and shit in the water and atmosphere, and it's growing, and that's the problem. Hedora, you know, wrecks the city, kills people, and Godzilla has to stop him. That's basically the movie. But one thing, though, again, when he's underwater searching for this stuff, Hedora comes, slimes him, and then it cuts to him, like, in bed. You don't see what's really happened to him. And this is a moment where I feel the editing kind of fails. Like, this is a moment where it should have been like, this is when you have some music pipe in, like, dun, dun, dun. And then a dramatic reveal of his face covered in, like, you know, bandages. But no, it just sort of happens. He's like, oh, hey, I was gooed.
I did get gooed. I feel like we see him.
And he wants everybody to see it. Make sure they put this on TV.
But what I mean is, like, it's like they could have had that be a dramatic reveal, but they don't.
Well,
but
dramatic
the movie's
the kid at the this fucking huge knife trying to stab that tadpole.
He lays a cool. he gets that blade in tadpole.
He's like,
Hedora, he's ready to kill and die.
I guess I was just saying, I would have appreciated if the movie made that a big reveal of what happened to the dad. Because when it happens underwater, it just cuts. You're like, oh, I guess it
No, I agree. Because, like, when we see his half-gooed, you know, face, I feel like they don't say it right away, although it's they do eventually, but they're like, that's a chemical burn. He's, like, badly burned. But yeah, because it's like goofy, you know, makeup, and we can see that it's goofy makeup, you're like, oh, I guess he got gooed.
But I will say this, the movie redeems this last opportunity by having a lot of other scenes of a lot of other people getting gooed.
Very upsettingly gooed.
It is very upsetting. Like, seriously, you can see that one dude's face, and he is, like, writhing in pain, and you feel it. He's like, oh, God!
Even Godzilla gets gooed in one eye.
Oh my God! I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe the fact that Godzilla's left eye is, like, swollen up the remainder of the movie.
The whole movie, basically.
And I love him at the end where he's got the one eye swollen up, and then, like, blood on his face, like he's a prize fighter who's, like, I kind of love, he's like, you know, the old dog still got a. He's like
the only thing that would have made this movie better is if he had like leaned over to the boy and is like, "Cut me, Mick."
Yeah. Well, it seems as if the movie is saying that Godzilla is telepathically connected to this kid,
to this little boy.
He absolutely is.
Hey, he loves all his fans.
Message. He's coming to help us.
Godzilla's coming back. He's my best friend.
Yeah, I don't actually remember when it became canon, but at some point there are like connections between humans and Godzilla.
And with other creatures. What did we just see? Michael, the Revenge of Iris, which is a
Gamera movie.
Yeah. And there's a lot of connections with monsters and young people in this universe.
Telepathic,
I think that's great.
There's a lot of like telepathic connections with monsters.
You know, because monsters, you know, only exist much like fairies because of the love and belief of children. So,
well, you know what it could have been? It could have been that maybe the kid was clearly part of the Godzilla fan club. He had all the merch. He probably interacted with Godzilla at a convention.
Exactly, he was a high enough tier to like
social relationship.
Do you remember this scene where Godzilla's like, "Oh, I'm here because you paid for my subscribe to my Patreon."
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks for being a fan.
The highest tier, you get a telepathic connection.
Yeah. That's good. Really appreciate you, Ken. Couldn't have done this without you.
And to speak to Godzilla in this
Ken,
movie,
number one fan.
Yeah, it's funny, Godzilla. His portrayal is so funny in this movie because, like you said, there are several bits where he is seriously like a fighter. Like, there's a moment when he like has that standoff with Adora when he's like stomping the ground, like, "Come on, man, let's do this. Come on."
You want to see him like spit blood out.
And also, the reveal of him is that awesome sun shot.
Oh!
Oh yeah, that's a beautiful, beautiful image replacement right there. Like,
it's so great because he's like, "We're ruining the world," and sludge. Cut to Godzilla like, "The fuck is going on?
Not on my watch."
It's seriously him, like with his hands on his hips, like, "What
well,
is going on
says,
here?"
He's
out
Superman
here?
Or something like that.
Yes. Yeah,
he's coming out of like a Lion King sunset or something like that, ready to.
I thought he was like on a tropical vacation. That was like how I read
he
that.
He said, "Oh, this kid's so annoying. I'm trying to relax."
Like he's in like the beach in like Maui or something.
and he never gets to take time off.
His relaxation is interrupted when some sludge drifts into the private area he's at, the private beach. Like, what the hell is
sludge?
And he's like, you know, firing him, blasting the sludge on.
Yes, that was such a weird image. I mean, I loved it where he's just blowing stuff up in the ocean. He's like, "Get all this crap out of here."
I don't know. I guess I'll burn it.
I think that's actually in Ken's dream, right? Because that's when he has that dream. It's actually a pretty cool way they put that image together because you've got Godzilla like lighting the trash on fire, and then you got Ken like sleeping in the corner. Just another cool little thing that they do.
Which honestly, not a good thing to do, Godzilla, lighting a bunch of trash fires.
This actually is not good for the environment either.
You're part of the problem, Godzilla.
This is like one of the only early ones or the middle chunk Godzilla movies where I'm like, the stuff with the human stuff works, and it's like good.
Yeah,
I don't know,
it worked
like,
for me. Yeah.
And it's not boring compared to a lot of other ones.
I was riveted. Like the scenes when the dad's like, "Hold on," like the little science set he has, like the kid's science set, and he's like dipping the tadpoles in there. And now if I put it in here, oh my God, the two of them have merged into one. Like,
so
that was fun.
I think to My belief is that this movie works at a human level because the
it's
way they do
family.
That. Well, the way they do the exposition, I think, is clever. For example, like when they show the when they're explaining the way Hedorah evolves, they have these cool little pictures. And it reminds me
of like a talk show.
You know what it reminded me of? When actually the animation part where it talks about the, I think it's the nuclear atom or whatever. And then with the evolution little pictures, it reminded me of like Jurassic Park when they're going through, when
it
they
was
first
Mr.
get there.
Dino
DNA.
Up, Mr. DNA shows up in this movie. And this one is like Mr. Toxic Waste or something.
Ken, what's a nuclear explosion?
You mean atomic bombs and so on?
Yes. When the atoms of a substance undergo nuclear fission, they create more atoms and emit a tremendous amount of energy. Throughout the universe, explosions occur which are very much larger than the sun or hydrogen bombs.
Bang! That's wild.
And yeah, it's like, and that kind of stuff like makes it interesting to hear about that. And it's like, instead of just somebody talking, there's visual stuff going on too. In the same way they show the little pictures of the galaxies, like, oh, here's the Milky Way.
The Andromeda Galaxy.
Yeah. Well, seriously, like the movie stopped for a minute and it was just like, we're going to show you a slideshow. It was like you're in a science class. And honestly, I kind of enjoyed it because, again, I think they know their main audience are kids. So it's like, we got to dumb this down a bit, you know, so the kids will understand.
I want to, while we're talking about interesting things this movie does, I need to give like a quick sidebar. This I need to give like an interstitial, if you will, to pour one out.
Do you have an animation prepared?
I don't have an animation prepared, but I have a slideshow.
Okay.
I have a slideshow about Yoshimitsu Banno, who is the director of this movie. And I just want to say, okay, so this is the first movie he directed, right? Before he directed this, he, you know, was working in the business for a long time. He was born in the 30s. He was the assistant director on Nick. You might recognize these movies. Certainly, I'm sure everyone here will, but especially Nick. A little movie called Akira Kurosawa's Throne of Blood, The Lower Depths, The Hidden Fortress. This man was the assistant director on. He worked with a bunch of Kurosawa
so
stuff.
This was not a green like guy. He wasn't green. No. I mean, he was making a green movie, but he was not green in the sense of his profession.
Well, that's the thing is, assistant director is a very it's not an artful job though.
No, no. But I mean, yeah. he's working his way through the business, involved in some good stuff. He's you know working out throughout the whole time. This is his first movie he gets to actually direct.
Yeah.
He does it, and basically the studio is like, what the fuck did you just make? And they immediately like demote him. He's never allowed to direct a Godzilla movie again until he doesn't direct these movies, obviously, and much like an assistant director position, it's not exactly a creative thing that he's doing, but he ends up being the next like involvement he has in a major way in Godzilla stuff is the reboot, the American reboots in the 2014. He was an executive producer on that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
And Godzilla, he died in 2017. Godzilla, King of the Monsters, the sequel to that 2014 Godzilla, was dedicated to his memory.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
The interesting guy, you know, yeah. I just want to like highlight this guy. He clearly like was passionate about this movie. He wanted to make a sequel to it. In interviews, he talked about this movie and like, he was kind of bummed of like the way everything went down, you know. But yeah,
it was interesting to read that it was like in the list, like one of those books of like worst movies of all time or something like that.
Oh, what?
And
did you? Yeah,
and
I saw that too.
Roger Ebert like thought it was his favorite Godzilla movie.
Yep, there's I was gonna give that a shout out because
once again knew what he was talking about.
He said this is his favorite Godzilla movie.
His favorite?
Yes.
Well, like you said, I think you cannot say watching this movie that there is no passion at play. You know what I mean? Like this movie had passion to spare. Like this wasn't this is in no way a cookie cutter movie. Like whoever made this movie poured his heart out into the movie. You know what I mean? Yeah, there's passion at play here.
I think you're right, Dave, because this movie to me just has a whole lot of intentionality, I think. And I'm not saying it all works, but I think that almost consecutively, like, it has me going, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that looks good. Oh, that's a nice choice. Just these kind of constant flows of like, oh, that's really cool. It just keeps me engaged at a level that I think for Godzilla films can feel kind of stale sometimes, mm-hmm. and just run of the mill. And like Ryan said, they all bleed together, but that's the one thing that I can stand by confidently. Like, this one does not run together with the others. Stands on its own.
It does occasionally run like in goo. Like, there are several scenes in this movie where, like, for instance, Godzilla punches through Ghidorah and a bunch of like gooey shit comes out.
Yeah,
it's disgusting.
That's stuff I love too. Like, cause I can't, there's a lot wet of that one. Stuff where it'll be like this, like close-up insert shots that are like edited really fast of like a punch to the gut, and it's like close-ups of Godzilla looking at his hand, and like it's like different compared to. I mean, I don't know. I just can't remember. Maybe
well, and there,
that
you,
stuff.
I feel like Godzilla attacks Ghidorah with like, I don't know if it's hate, but he really has like he has a grudge against Ghidorah.
Yeah. Passion,
like,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah, well, passion in this fight.
Movie,
like
he
really hates pollution.
Straight up rips Ghidorah's guts out at the end of the movie. He's like, and he's
it's
like
done
ripping
so
shit
funny
out.
Too, because it's just like you think he's done. And he's like, no,
no, I'm gonna keep grabbing goo.
He's like, he stopping knows it. Godzilla like knows there's like something in there.
Yeah,
yeah, I love that he's just like turning it on himself, the electric and stuff.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They can't get power to it because Godzilla and Ghidorah destroyed a power line, so the humans are constantly trying to get the power back up on Godzilla. There's literally a moment where Godzilla shakes his head like these fucking humans, and he like shoots his radiation beam or whatever at the electrodes to activate it, and then
it's not hard.
He's like, how hard is this, people? Come on.
That actually was a moment in the movie that I was a little mixed on with respect to the military in this fight,
which
because
apparently consists of like 10 guys.
Well, that, if you know, I counted, they use like, they didn't use the same shot, but they go back to this like image portrait kind of thing of just the military watching, and no one says anything. They're just watching, and they do it 3 times. I'm like, okay, I think I see what you're doing, but those moments weren't really effective. Like, really making me think like the military is like, you know, in awe or
well,
shock or whatever.
I kind of took it. Maybe this was unintentional. I might be doing some work for the movie, as they say. But I kind of took it as the government ain't doing shit about this. And it's only a handful of people that are actually like, we should probably stop this. Like, I kind of took that as the reason why there were only like 2 military jeeps and like 10 guys total trying to fix, even though they say call the defense forces.
Yeah,
like, apparently the defense forces only consists of 2 trucks.
If you really dive into the narrative of this movie, I actually think by the time they're having this battle that a lot of people are dead. Like, this is like the whole, like, because that's the whole reason they were going to dance, because it's like the end of the world, basically.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I could also, Dave, I kind of like your take of like, you know, it's just environmental stuff. I don't know. Send like a B squad. Who cares? It's like that is
B-squad.
In line with government reaction to certain things about the climate.
And to speak to funny reactions, like I mentioned like kind of stark contrast in this movie. There's a so we mentioned there's these cartoon interludes that come up every now and then that basically kind of tell you what the status quo is in the movie at the moment. You have a cartoon interlude. And then it's immediately followed by a newscast saying 35 people dead and 87 injured, 322 buildings destroyed. It's like, oh my God.
Did you like your little cartoon, though? Did you like the cartoon?
Did you notice? I don't know if any of you noticed, but I also thought it was interesting the way they played the audio of the newscasting. It didn't sound like the way the audio played sounded more like narration as opposed to it was coming from the TV. And I just thought that was like another thing that I was like, that's kind of weird.
Those TV interstitials, like, you know, they have the cartoon interstitials, and then the TV moments get even more crazy, because at one point it's, you know, I think this kind of goes into the government isn't doing anything about it, because in one of these TV interstitials, you literally have like, In a Brady Bunch type setup, a bunch of faces in boxes like, government, do something, like, you're killing us. And in one of those images, you literally see
Godzilla.
A baby. Oh. You see a baby.
Godzilla's in there too, though. Yeah, I like that of like, there's just the baby crying.
This is definitely the inspiration behind that tragic moment under the skin with the abandoned baby. you know, Glazer was looking at Ghidorah.
I really felt, in addition to, you know, like the toxic waste is bad and all that stuff, this is very much like government, like very much just like very critical of the government. Like,
yeah.
In the same way that Godzilla Minus One was very critical of the government at the time, the Japanese government, how they handled things and stuff. I got that same sense here. I mean, the movie is flat out, the people on TV are flat out saying, like, give us our ocean back! Halt all industry! Yeah, yeah, Godzilla. That was so funny. In that footage, there's so many things going on in that collage on the TV, and one of them is Godzilla just kind of dancing.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. What's up?
It's the best. I don't know.
I love my friend Godzilla.
It's really cool. Like, that's why I wanted to mention is this, like, I can't remember any other ones kind of edited like this. So that's, yeah, it's really cool.
Well, it has an impact. Like,
it's the 70s, baby.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Mike's right, though, that it's like, I mean, Japan got, like, set, like, 10 years behind, you know, with the whole, you know, atomic bomb incident.
Thing.
But, like,
the whole atomic bomb thing.
But, like, so it definitely feels like the 60s and not the 70s. But I guess it's just runoff from.
I mean, it's 1971. I bet there were
still basically
some
the 60s.
60s, yeah, going
they
on.
Were, yeah, they were kind of going through that kind of era that we had done in the 60s. And to the point that I also love, there's a shot when the kids are having their hippie bonfire to celebrate the end of the world. It cuts to this group of old people in the bushes just staring like, what are those kids doing? You know what I mean? And it's never explained who those people are. And I can only assume that that is just another, they're basically narcs. Like, I'm assuming that the movie is saying, like, that's one generation. This is the other. You know what I mean?
And yeah, I think you're right, Dave. I didn't even think about that. I forgot about the broadcast, like, multitude of screens and stuff like that, but also the shot that is just one random shot of old people watching these kids, and
judgmentally.
I'm like, I think, yeah, it's like it's painting the contrast between two demographics that are like behaving and what they were doing. So like the older generation didn't do anything, or they're just watching without doing anything.
There's that, yes, and there's that moment in the TV newscast where they're like, well, this is ridiculous. We all know Ghidorah is a sea-based monster. This is a lie. This is fake news.
There's a thing about the masks, too. You see, like, anti-Ghidorah
masks.
Oh,
my God, yes. Anti-Ghidorah masks. Like, this movie hits so differently post-pandemic, especially, like, the airborne stuff. It's like, ugh. Like, I shivered a few times, like, ooh, bad memories.
Yeah. Pretty wild.
I think Ebert was right. This is in the top three of Godzilla movies.
I need to see more. I need to see more Godzilla movies before I make that decision.
I'm gonna go ahead and say it too. I think he's right. Yeah,
I think this is, it's better than some that I've seen. I'll say that. I say this is no Gojira or, you know, Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, but this is better than like a Destroy All Monsters, I'd say.
Definitely. No, I'm gonna say it's better than both those. I think that's
it's better record than like the first Godzilla. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Hot take.
Well, okay, you lost me there, but I like, for me, I typically think of just big monster movies in one genre, and this is probably in my top 10 of just big monster movies. I think it's just pretty good, and it does a lot of interesting things. So I don't think it's like close to like the original or anything like that. But in terms of all the movies, this is up there, I think, for me, in terms of like memorability, being cool, and doing all the cool monster stuff that I love about these movies.
Well, okay, as you say that, let's I think we've hit a lot of beats. We've talked about a lot of themes. But there's one thing we haven't really addressed, and I think now is as good a time as any, as you're saying, there's so many good monster beats in this movie. Let's talk about maybe the most controversial thing in this movie, Godzilla propelling himself and flying by using his atomic breath.
That was awesome. Okay. I love when he curled up in a little ball with his tail, and I like whenever Godzilla just reminds me of a cat. I think that's great every time.
I have to imagine that this is the scene that the executives saw and were like, okay, we can never let this guy near Godzilla.
Yeah, no, blacklist,
Dave,
this man.
This, if you read the Chattopedia, this kind of scene, this scene specifically, was infused because it was getting too dark. And so I think that this movie, if I remember correctly.
I think Bana was like right. I think, I think his vision for the movie would have been better. But yeah, this is the studio meddling. The studio is like, we need more fun shit.
Get some wacky Godzilla in there. We need to sell merch.
If I remember correctly, there were primarily two voices kind of leading the charge on this thing. And that was the director Bana and then the effects guy. And I think that was the effects guy that was like, yeah, we need some lighthearted stuff.
And the effects guy, I think, was like higher up in the Toho studio chain.
Yeah, he had been involved already for quite some time.
And I mean, arguably, when you think Godzilla, you're thinking about the effects, so.
That's
yeah, and right. I think his name is Tomoyuki Tanaka he's the producer was the guy, I think that was like the boss basically above Bana, who kept being like, yeah, what if he flew?
And to give credit to that guy, I think the pyrotechnic work and the shot, the effects work is good. Especially the scenes where he's punching through Hedorah and pulling goo
when Hedorah's
out.
Huffing those toxins.
Speaking of goo, another moment I really love is when Godzilla's basically being drowned in a pit of sludge. I was like, oh, this is awesome. This is brutal.
Godzilla is literally being buried alive in shit goo. And we can't stress this enough, folks. If you haven't seen this movie, check it out, because when we say shit goo, there are several scenes in the movie when Hedorah will sit down and basically just shit, and all this goo comes out in this torrent, and it is truly disgusting.
It looks like it smells really bad.
It looks like raw sewage.
I wouldn't want to go
Did you relate to that, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, we share a mental connection, or if it's...
Did it trigger you?
I'm so sorry.
They should have a trigger warning before that scene.
I forgot to ask, you did clean your ears out. A lot of people, when they get covered in goo, they forget to clean their ears out. You get the ears?
Yeah, I mean, I might have missed a spot behind a little bit.
Smells really bad, Ryan. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Well... Does anyone else have any closing thoughts on Godzilla versus Hedorah?
Justice for Bana.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, did you, Dave, happen to catch that Canon Scoopic in the camera?
Canon Scoopic.
Remember, that was the camera that they used in film school. It was the 16mm one.
Oh, does someone use that?
It was
in movie
when the news reporter comes in with the doctor, when you first see him.
Oh, right! And they're like, no, I want you to film me.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, damn, yes. I've used that camera before. It's cool. Yeah, anyway.
Ryan, what if the cameras that you and I rented out at Scottsdale Community College back in the day used on Godzilla versus Hedorah? Imagine it.
Imagine.
They were old Vietnam cameras, basically, so that's cool.
Yeah, these were the cameras that filmed Godzilla vs. Ghidorah, and also the cameras that Francis Ford Coppola would be like, no, keep going, it's a movie, it's for television, keep moving.
That's why this has such a guerrilla vibe to it.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
On the ground floor.
That was my only other note, really, other than, ouch, when Ken sees everyone get the skeleton.
Oh, yeah.
Ouch!
The kid goes, ouch.
He's right.
Mike, Jackie, Nick, do you get any closing thoughts?
I love Hedorah. She's beautiful. And Smog Queen. Get that iridescent look for your blood red eyes, girlies.
Slay.
It was funny because I remember, I think I probably even showed Nick, but the Mondo, I remember, had this line of Hedorah little vinyl figures, and they're all different colors and stuff. And it's I wish I had one.
That would be cool.
Really, that was the recurring thought I had, aside from this movie is interesting, is that I need to get a Hedorah toy, at least a 12-incher.
We could maybe fashion one out of the residual goo off the smokestacks.
Hey,
you
can have the ones don't even joke.
Dave, if you want to take up that job, you do that yourself. I just want to put out, I am not creating anything with this, with the poop goo.
Yeah, I just wanted to have a normal party.
Well, Nick, I'm glad you came in here. I'm glad you let me know the folly of my ways. I'm the smokestacks are coming down. They've been turned off. I'm going to have that shady contractor come out and tear them down. And also, as a nice side note, we got to see a good Godzilla. Guys, if there's a silver lining here of Ryan getting covered in shit and, you know, a lot of people in Citadel dying, chemical burns, whatnot, we can at least take solace in the fact that we got to watch a fun Godzilla movie. Am I right?
Great.
Oh, I was it's expecting crickets there.
No, I think it's worth it.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Apocalypse Radio, folks. Be sure to like and subscribe on X or Facebook if you still use that. You can also hit us up on the good old Gmail, apocalypsepod@gmail.com. But what are your favorite Godzilla movies? Are you Team Bono or Team the other guy? We want to know. that's going to do it for this episode, folks. Remember to have your septic tanks cleaned out regularly. And please do not use smokestacks. It's a bad idea. Bad idea. Let's anyway, what do you guys say? We get the music going again and let's just have a good time. Let's forget about all this poo stuff.
Woo! Yeah. Poo! Gambare, gambare, bokura no Godzilla. Gambare, gambare, bokura no Godzilla.
Bang! That's wild.